Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. Thanks for tuning in. As you guys know, for all of our regular listeners, Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor to tech-enabled services companies. With me today are my partners Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Welcome, guys.
Well, good day to you, Mike. It's up here in the Great White North, we're melting a lot of snow. So spring is sprung. It's a little chilly, but it's exciting for us, you know, the past few months about how it's been quite a winter up here. So good to get the getting on.
Indeed, indeed. As we look through the first few months of this year, we get a lot of questions from business owners that are looking forward to the rest of the year and how they should place their bets for growth and for profitability and targets. And today, what we want to take as we go into the spring here is if you're a strategic company in the IT services space or tech-enabled services space, so think of yourself as a custom application development firm or a Microsoft or ServiceNow partner or a managed service provider. And you're looking out and seeing your horizon. Organic growth gets you pretty far. But the radical point to bigger growth comes through oftentimes through mergers and acquisition. But companies, before they even should consider an M&A initiative, probably should ask themselves a few questions. So today I want to ask Mike and Matt here, who are experts and operators in the field here, you know, what really are those questions you should consider before acquiring another firm? So even before building a list or doing anything else, you know, what should we ask ourselves? You know, are we ready for a deal? So Mike, I'll start out with here. And, you know, what's the biggest thing that comes to mind? And when you start out with what questions should someone ask? It feels it's am I going to hit my profit goals alone? Is that enough? So, Mike, just get us going.
Well, I think, you know, all business owners have a view of their business where they know where they may have some needs, right? And they have a goal. I think if you're, you know, doing appropriate planning, you know, whether you're, regardless of your planning methodology, you know, you're going to have a set of monthly, quarterly, and annual goals. And you really have to ask yourself, you know, my broader picture goals, my longer term goals, will organic growth get me there alone? And will it get me there fast enough? Because likely, you know, it could get you there. It's just a matter of time. And I would say that, you know, time in our industry and with all the change in the world is, you know, may not be your friend, vis-a-vis, you know, achieving certain milestones in the business. So, you know, we often say that, you know, you give up about 50% of your growth potential, in the business if you don't have an active M&A strategy. And I think, you know, it's a little bit of a back of the napkin number, but it's certainly one that we think has been vetted over time in our experience, and that one that has proven out. So, you know, you do have to ask yourself, can I get there faster and or more profitably, you know, by facilitating an M&A deal? And I think, you know, the answer certainly can be yes, with the right type of acquisition. And I think the key there is making sure that it does fit your ideal target, from a market and size and sort of culture and strategy and kind of financial performance perspective. And those deals can't happen by accident. You know, I was just having a conversation with someone this morning about this. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of M&A transactions that people do that they sort of run into by accident. And oftentimes those deals get force fit and they don't quite fit check all the boxes. You know, sometimes they do, but I'd say, you know, not very regularly. So being on purpose about it and being very laser beam focused on the right target certainly can help you accelerate growth and profit and get your goals much sooner.
Yeah, I think that's a great setup. So kind of the general question, will I you know, how do I hit my profit and revenue goals with a mix of organic and inorganic means? I think is the first question you should ask there. Mike, you mentioned a bit about finding the right fit and understanding how an acquisition will fit into a strategy. Matt, it seems like the other question that we would lead people to ask, the big question is, you know, what is my strategy in acquiring another firm? Matt, I would love to hear your thoughts on expanding on identifying a strategic fit for a company and how that could fit in a buyer's mindset before going into a process.
Yeah, I think it's great. There's a few, probably maybe a touch more than a few, but sort of big buckets from a strategic perspective that we often see with our clients in terms of, you know, meeting their strategic goals. So, for example, maybe a firm is call it a custom application development firm, just as a scenario, and they're starting to lose business simply because they're not able to demonstrate a capability, something that the customers are asking for. And that capability could be a different technology, right? A different technology expertise. Say, for example, it's a, you know, largely Microsoft-based firm and many of their customers are looking for, call it, you know, maybe AWS or, you know, open source skills. And they're starting to lose out on business and starting to lose their position with their customers. And so, you know, strategically, they recognize that, well, they could, you know, they could build those skills organically and just start hiring people. But a faster path and a faster path to growth with their customers would be to go out and acquire that capability and fold that capability in. Another example strategically could be just simply geographic expansion. They're strong in a certain market here in North America. Maybe they're real strong in the Northeast. But they've got customers that are bringing them to other areas and they're asking them to have that local presence. Examples of some of the, you know, sort of strategic goals that can be met and achieved much faster, by making an acquisition. Other examples could be just talent, right? Could be leadership talent. Could be, again, capability talent. And so the faster path to, you know, showing depth with that talent is through an acquisition. So, you know, really a variety of means. And I think that it's super important, right? To ask and to identify and to prioritize, you know, what those strategic goals may be and have that clarified amongst the leadership team so that you can get that targeting down correctly.
Yeah, it's identifying a strategy is a very broad area, and this is something where it likely makes the biggest impact on your business. I wouldn't take it lightly. Matt, you did a wonderful job of explaining some of those things that company would consider, that strategic product line expansion, a geographic expansion, a people expansion, a channel expansion. That's great work. So great work encapsulating such a huge thing when you consider, you know, what is my strategy in acquiring a firm. Mike, if I could pass this over to you as well, if you think about the financial capacity of a deal, I think that's one of the other leading questions. Can you dig into a little bit more about what it means for financial capacity and what questions should a buyer be asking themselves about that?
Well, I think you need to be in a strong position financially. What's a strong position? A strong position probably means that, you know, you're in at least in the top quartile of your peers from a profit contribution perspective. That you have, and to put a finer point on it, it probably means you're producing more than 15% EBITDA. you have a clean balance sheet. You don't really have any debt. You're in a position to take on some risk and expand the business by doing a little bit of risk taking, predominantly through incurring some debt. It is our recommendation that, you know, most of our clients, you know, look for some sort of financing partner. It doesn't necessarily need to be debt. It could be equity as well. We just add the caveat that, you know, equity is pretty expensive way to scale and grow your business. And unless you're focused on a hyper growth sort of scenario where you're going to go out and try to, you know, quadruple the size of the firm in a fairly short order within a period of, you know, a few years, you know, equity may not, an equity partner may not be your best bet. If that is your goal, then certainly an equity partner is a great vehicle to do that. So there is some nuance there in looking at what is the best financing strategy. But regardless, you know, being financially ready means that you're financially healthy, that you have a good organic business that's growing and you're in a position to take on some risk. And then you can begin to, you know, formulate, you know, how the heck am I going to fund this and how the heck am I going to fund my ultimate goal to, you know, whatever that is. You know, my 40 years in this business, I haven't been in a position where I've talked to someone who started a tech-enabled services business that didn't think about eventually selling it, right? And so when you think about buy-side M&A as a vehicle to do that, it ultimately just helps you achieve that goal probably faster or in a way that would, you know, optimize return. And so I think that impacts the way you have to think about how am I going to finance deals and, you know, ultimately where do I need to be before I begin that conversation? And in short, that means that you just have a strong balance sheet and you're growing both top line and bottom line in the top quartile.
No, those are all great points that helps you also frame up just how big of an acquisition you may look at and what does that mean for coming back to our first question of how do I hit my revenue and profit goals using acquisition as a lever. If we've figured out the strategy and we've figured out kind of the financial aspects of it, Matt, I'd love to get your perspective on the next question here, which it would be, do we have the right team in place and how would an acquisition fit culturally? You know, what do we need to look for? Matt, can I expand a little bit on leadership and culture?
Yeah, Ryan, I think that's a great point. And it's, I think that they're not mutually exclusive, leadership and culture, obviously. Culture is really a result of the leaders and sometimes often the founder of an organization and how they lead and how they think and, you know, what their values are. And I, you know, and we often do this in our readiness phase is to, you know, help our clients sort of reflect on the cultural values that are super important to them. You know, if, and let's just kind of review, in order for acquisition to come together and meet its strategic goals, you really got to find that cultural fit, that strategic fit, and the financial fit. The three fits that we always talk about. Sometimes we see that our clients don't necessarily understand their own culture. And in our readiness phase, we do some cultural assessment. And we often hear from our clients that it's very helpful for them to understand that. And so they can match that appropriate culture. Also, leadership style, which is kind of driven from that culture. Is it a real top down, right? Or is it, do the leaders really try to push decision making through the organization? Do they demonstrate through their leadership, real care for their team members, right? An example of that is, you know, do they have development planning in place, for example? And do you see a firm raising people up on an ongoing basis? And so being able to see those values in action, and then be able to, you know, find the fits that really match those cultural and leadership values. And so I think that it's, to your point, Ryan, I think it's super important to spend time there, to understand it, to not just go by your gut, right? But, you know, really identify and write down some of those both culture and leadership values that exist, you know, as your organization. And then, again, trying to find as good a match as possible with the targets that are in place.
Really well said, Ben. I think you covered everything there. Great job. So we've got a strategy in place. We've got a culture defined. We understand the financial capability of a deal. And you start to look, you know, what does it take to get a deal, and the process of starting to find a firm and get someone in there. Mike, I'd love to hear your opinions. I think what's the next critical question, if I'm looking to buy a business, would be to me, you know, how do I mitigate the risk of a deal? You know, what things should people be considering when it looks to making sure this is a successful venture and mitigating risk?
Yeah, great question, Ryan. You know, I think risk, you know, you're going to take some risk regardless of how many risk mitigation strategies you use pursuant to any M&A deal. But I think a great way to mitigate risk is to have a comprehensive diligence done by an outside third party, you know, due diligence effort. Oftentimes you'll hear, you know, private equity firms talk about quality of earnings and QOV analysis. They do that as a risk mitigation strategy with an independent third party to the transaction, looking at the deal and saying, hey, you know, are these cash flows real? Do we have any contingent liabilities here that may not have been disclosed? You know, do we have a bad actor, right? I mean, it's very rare, but, you know, sometimes you have sellers who are bad actors and they're, you know, kind of fabricating things. More often than not, we see sort of things that are overlooked in the financials or not recorded properly in the financials that introduce risk into a deal that you may not learn about if you hadn't done a comprehensive due diligence effort until after the deal was closed. And so that is a challenge, for sure. And the best way to mitigate that risk is to make sure that, you know, regardless of your own personal financial acumen or that of your team internally, that you've, you know, have an advisor or a CPA firm or another financial organization that you trust conduct a comprehensive due diligence effort on that business to validate that the cash flows are real and what's in the numbers are real. That supports your valuation. That'll confirm that you're not overpaying for the business. That'll confirm that your risk modeling in your valuations are accurate. And it should give you confidence that, you know, the thesis behind the deal, you know, the 1+1=3, 4, or 5, you can execute on confidently.
Great. And I think one of the things to consider, and this is the, I would say the last big category of questions you may want to consider here is flows into that well, which is who do you need or who do I need by my side to make sure a transaction is successful? Doing and completing one of the most unnatural acts in business is difficult unless you have a few guides along the way. Matt, who should someone be looking to in an MA process to help them out?
Well, there's a, you know, it's kind of a team-based approach, right? Obviously, an M&A advisor or an investment banker, right? Who has the experience. And it's not just the experience that Mike talked about in sort of the due diligence. It's the experience in actually getting a deal across the finish line, in preparing a buyer, you know, based upon the hundreds of opportunities that we've had to bring firms together. and guide them appropriately. So, you know, that role of the advisor and that independent, sort of a objective source is obviously critical. Having identified a legal team, that again has experience in, helping with the diligence to, mitigate that risk, but then also has the experience in, you know, once the diligence part has been done, in bringing the sides together. You know, we often talk of, deal makers or deal breakers. And we've seen both. And, you know, it's, to meet the strategic goals, you got to get the deals done. And so obviously deal makers are much better to have on your side. Oftentimes having an accounting team in place. Now, again, you know, we certainly, in our full service, provide that Q of E capability. But sometimes there's more advanced accounting principles that need to be reviewed in diligence and plan for. So, you know, sometimes there's an accounting team that needs to be in place. And then, you know, we see other fringe team members, could be ESG. ESG is a hot topic, obviously, for publicly traded companies and being able to do a review there. Sometimes there's tax implications where you may need a tax specialist, tax expert in place. So, you know, it's a variety of team members kind of based upon the scenario that are in place. But big are your M&A advisor, your legal, and probably, you know, likely some accounting specialties. What did I miss?
Nothing. I think you got it all, Matt.
Yeah, I agree. Those are the big questions that I had. If I sum those up and come back to, again, if I'm on, looking to go buy a company, I really need to understand where my company is at today to make sure that I have the right planning meetings and the right goals in mind to even consider the process. And then if I do truly, and that starts to pass, I get the next layer of questions are, what's the strategy in acquiring another firm? The next question would be, do I have the right team in place and is the culture defined in bringing a new company on board? The next question I heard was, do I have the financial capability of doing a deal and ensuring that we have the right structure in ongoing growth plans, but also what it would take to finance and get a deal done. And then lastly, how do we start to mitigate the risk of the deal, and who do we bring on side to make sure, bring on from the outside to make sure that it all is done well? Those are the big questions I think I would ask. Matt, Mike, I'll turn it over to you for any kind of cleanup.
Yeah, I would just say, Ryan, I mean, I think that it was a great summary. And the only thing that I'd add is, you know, to prepare yourself for a timeline. So one of the things that we advise is that it's best to have an ongoing active M&A strategy. Again, if you're prepared financially and your team is in a good place and the business is in a good place, obviously, you know, that kind of goes up and down. But having this ongoing active strategy, you know, is really kind of what the best of the best do. So to think that this is a, you know, like something that gets done in a quarter, yeah, not real likely. So just prepare yourself mentally that you're working on this ongoing strategy and that you're running the business effectively as this and sort of incorporating this into your running of the business effectively. So that's kind of the last thing that I'd add on to what you said, but, you know, great topic. Thanks for having us, Ryan.
Absolutely. Yeah. you know, I guess the only other point I would make, we wrap up here, is that, you know, readiness, which is really what we're talking about, can be a complex topic, and getting outside counsel on that is valuable. It's important to, you know, talk with strategists and M&A advisors about, you know, getting to ready. What does ready mean? Because ready, you know, not to mention all the points we've made, but, you know, you just have to mentally be ready. And I think providing some advice and counsel, or getting advice and counsel from folks that are knowledgeable in the industry, that know how to do transactions, is critically important to formulating your thinking about it. And, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to firms like Revenue Rocket to have those discussions. We're always available at info@RevenueRocket, or you can certainly see our content on our website to give you some more thinking, you know, probably spur some thinking around these topics. And we'd be happy to take your call to discuss it. So with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week and this Shoot the Moon podcast. Welcome you to tune in next week when we continue to explore topics relevant to tech-enabled services businesses around M&A and strategy. So take care and make it a great week.